Okay, so it's really, truly, I wanted to say, it's this shir that really is the third year we're giving this shir. It's an incredible schus, and as the Gemara says, mi talmidai yoser mikulam, from your students, you grow more than anyone else, you learn more than anyone else. And to see young women, after, I'm sure today, especially, the first real day in camp, was draining, was long, it was a lot of energy, and we're still getting used to that time change. So even though it's, you know, 10:30 camp time, our bodies are telling us it's probably not even 11:30, but like 12:30. And to come to want to learn Torah, and in an optional setting, and to decide you want to grow and you want to be more and you want to connect to kedusha and to ruchnius, Talmida Yosef Mikulam, it gives me tremendous chizik. It gives me tremendous inspiration to see young women, to see nashim tzidkaniyos that want to grow and want to learn and want to take of their own time. You could be doing anything right now and chilling with your friends and relaxing and whatever it might be, but you want to learn. To me, it's tremendous. To me, it's very special. And I want to thank you before anything else and remind each and every one of you, just more on a more personal level or a little smaller of a chevra, that I'm here for each and every one of you. And we're going to have this shir once a week and learn together on Shabbos as well often. But ultimately, anyone who, you know, wants to talk about any inyan or has any shilas or anything it might be, please, I'm here for you guys and take me up on that. I really mean it. Okay, so this is a little bit of a continuation of an ongoing shir. Now don't worry if you weren't by any of the previous shirim, because when it comes to Pirkei Avos, every Mishnah is really a world within itself. But we started last summer learning Pirkei Avos together. And then I don't know how many of you are together on the women's chat that we're a part of. We continued learning Pirkei Avos over the last few months on some level, and we're going to continue from where we left off. Now again, don't be concerned if you haven't, I'm sure many of us have studied Pirkei Avos, but we haven't learned together Pirkei Avos prior, and you didn't hear the first shiurim and the earlier Mishnayos. First of all the shiurim until this point are on YU Torah, and anyone who wants to learn those can go on YU Torah and can listen. But we're going to take off from Perek Bey's Mishnah Vav. So a lot of you have, there are a few more Siddurim we could, you want to send out those few more Siddurim over there, just whoever. Either way, if you don't have in front of you, so I'm going to be going through every word inside, and you'll listen, you'll learn. Don't worry if you don't have it in front of you. But it's in the Siddurim that I've been giving out, Perek Yavaz was found after Mincha for Shabbos. If you turn, someone can announce the page. Perek Bey's Mishnah Vav. 291. Okay, here we go. This first Mishnah, actually on the surface, is going to seem a little bit strange, but there's a tremendous amount to learn from it, just like there's a tremendous amount to learn from every single Mishnah in Perek Yavos. Lessons of life in a very special way. So Hillel, you know, the Hillel HaZaken, the great Tana Hillel, was the one who was talking previously in the Mishnayos, and that's who we're continuing with. Afu, he also saw the following. In the Avos Derav Nosson, there's a previous story that's not in Pirkei Avos, that's why it's Afu, he also saw this. We're not going to get into that right now. What did he see? So Hillel, imagine the scene. Hillel was walking. Afu Ra, he also saw Gulgolas Achas Shitzofa al Pnei Hamoyim. He saw a skull that was floating on top of the water. So you can imagine the scene. I don't believe any of us are going to see this in our lake this summer. It would be very scary. And probably none of us in our life. So you can imagine he was very taken aback. Hillel was very taken aback that he saw this skull floating in the water. It's not your everyday sight. Now, some people, if they saw that, would like freak out and run away and maybe have some nightmares. But Hillel was a tzaddik. Hillel was a tzaddik. When tzaddikim see something, especially something out of the ordinary, but really anything, they realize everything we see, and everything we hear, and everything we're a part of, is ultimately some sort of lesson from Hashem. And there's something to be learned from this, something to be taken from this. There's something to be, somehow to be inspired. And Hillel himself was. And Hillel said the following. He looked at that skull, and Amar Allah, he said to it, Al da teft atfuch. What does that mean? because you drowned others, because you caused others to drown in the water, you also drown. I mean, he's recognizing, and his lesson that he took from this was some level of midah keneged midah. Some level of midah keneged midah that he's taken, that what we do, we are either rewarded or paid back from Hashem with in form of a punishment. Everything is accounted for, and everything in life is midah keneged midah. And he's therefore seeing this skull floating and saying, this is not just by chance, and this is not just some individual that didn't deserve this to happen, but this individual clearly somehow drowned in this water. And he's saying right away, this person deserved it. He did it to somebody else, seemingly. Now, on a deep level, by the way, it's brought down in Svarim that Hillel was actually a Gilgal, a reincarnation of these deep ideas, but of Moshe Rabbeinu. They actually both lived till they were 120 years old. And he saw this skull, and he understood this was actually the skull of Paro. And when he was saying, because you drown others, you drown, we all know famously that Paro, one of his gzeros, one of his decrees in Mitzrayim, was that every Jew, because he was afraid that the Mashiach would be born and lead the Jews out of Mitzrayim, right? His astrologers told him this. Every Jewish baby boy he threw into the water. So too, what happens at the end, Mida Keneged Mida, by Kriyas Yamsuf, as we pass through the Yamsuf and the Yamsuf comes crashing down on Paro. So it's because you caused others to drown, you ended up drowning. And that's really what Hillel was saying to Paro. That's Alpi Kabbalah, that's a deeper idea. But the concept of Mida Keneged Mida is what we can see from here, and we can glean from here. And let's just continue and finish the Mishnah. Visof, and now the Arizal learns the end of the Mishnah. Hillel was taking that Yesod and telling it to Klal Yisrael and saying to Klal Yisrael, who've suffered so much over the ages, and we continue on different ways, and we've been through times. And you think about the 1930s, 1940s in Europe, and the 1400s in Spain, and the generations that we've been through with other nations of anti-Semitism. And now he turned and basically was speaking to Klal Yisrael, and he says, V'sof mitafayich yitifun. So too, have hope and know that whoever is drowning you, whoever is causing you despair, they will end up drowning as well. Everything is midah keneged midah. Nobody gets away with anything in this world. That's what Hillel HaZaken, that's what he took and taught from seeing this skull floating in the water. And that, by the way, that itself is just a big chizik to us, that each and every one of us, everything we come in contact with in life, we're supposed to be growing from and learning from and being inspired from. But also this concept that he's teaching of midah keneged midah. This concept of midah keneged midah is a big midah. And really what is a big idea. And that idea is to remind us that there are consequences to all of our actions. What goes around comes around, and it's very, very real. And that goes in Meinam L'Makom, that goes in Meinam L'Chavero. The way we live our lives is accounted for. And we might not see it immediately, but in the grand scheme of things, if we live our lives the way we're supposed to, as B'nois Torah, and we're living our lives in the proper way, in Meinam L'Chavero, and treating people the way we're supposed to, so of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us in the most beautiful of ways. And if lo aleinu, God forbid, we don't live up to who we are supposed to be, and we're not living up to the way we're supposed to be serving the Ribbono Shel, and not living up to the way we're supposed to be treating others, we might get away with it for a little bit of time, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gives us opportunity to do tshuva, opportunity to grow, opportunity to work on ourselves. That's His rachmanas, that's His mercy. But if we don't do tshuva the way we're supposed to, we're going to get paid back, and that's going to be midah keneged midah. I saw on this Mishnah an incredible story. It's a story that the Baal Shem Tov brought down, the Heilige Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov said there was a woman, and this woman was very, very poor, very impoverished. And she would go around collecting money to support herself, to support her family. And anyone who gave her money, she would say the following to, Kol ma sha'adam poyel, everything that a person does in this world, Lo leman acherim hu poel, ela leman atzmo. Lo leman acherim hu poel. It's not, don't think you're doing it for others, in the end you're doing it for yourself. It's a pretty difficult comment to hear when you're helping someone out, right? Imagine the scene. Someone comes, I'm sure this happened to all of us many times, right? Where someone comes to our door, knocking on our door on a Sunday afternoon. It's someone that's collecting money, and you give them $1, $5, and they say, by the way, everything you do, you're doing it for yourself. You'd be pretty upset. What type of gratitude is that? What type of appreciation is that? Not, thank you so much for helping me, for what you've done to me. Pretty insensitive type of a comment, right? Doesn't sound so nice. But there's a deep message here. There's a deep message, and there's a lot of truth to it. It doesn't mean, by the way, and before we go on in the story, she didn't mean to be saying, God forbid, she didn't mean to be saying, like, you're a gaivadik, haughty person only into yourself. What she meant to be saying was, yeah, of course, you're helping me. You're doing a nice thing for me. But ultimately, you're really only helping yourself. There's a truth in that. Again, that doesn't mean that person's mindset at the time. Al tavur es Hashem, amanas l'kabel pras. It's a fairish mission at the beginning of Pirkei Avos. But again, the story goes on. So this is what you used to tell people. But again, on the surface, people weren't so happy with such a comment when they're giving you money. And somehow she made her way to the palace. And the queen came to the door. And she came collecting money. Could you help me and my family? And the queen gave her money. And she said the same thing to the queen. Kol mach adam pol, lo leman acherim upol, el leman atzma. Everything a person does is not for others, but only for themselves. And the queen at first, you know, this is the queen. The queen is not really bothered and doesn't really care much what other people say and lets it slide the first time. But this Ani, this poor individual, she continuously goes back to the queen. Once a week, she's going. And over time, the queen started to get very angry. Like, what type of chutzpah? I'm helping this person week in and week out. And such a line they say back to me. And each time, got more and more angry until the queen had enough. And the queen decided to take revenge on this individual. Not liking this comment of this individual, that everything you do ultimately is for yourself. So what the queen decided to do, undeserving to this person on such a level, but it's the queen, and the queen decided to have the queen's baker bake this big, beautiful cake. But in the center of the cake, in the middle of the cake, to put poison and kill off this individual. Looked at this individual as a rebel, chutzpah to the queen. And the queen goes and brings, the next time the ani comes, the queen doesn't just give it, says, I baked this beautiful cake for you, as if helping this individual. And this poor woman it takes the cake and, as usual, doesn't say thank you, doesn't give akar zatov, and says her line, you know, says her go-to line. Kol mash adam pol, lo leman acherim pol, eleman atzam. Everything you do, you're doing it for yourself. And takes home the cake, and the cake, it smelled delicious, and it looked incredible. So this individual said, I'm not going to, even though she was hungry and her family was hungry, ravenous, they were very poor. But she decided she could enjoy it more. At least she could enjoy how it looks and how it smells for a few days before she eats it. And she puts it to the side so they can enjoy the smell, enjoy the sight of this delicious cake. And they'll eat it in a few days. A day or two later, the cake's still sitting there. The queen's son goes hunting. And this woman, by the way, lived deep in the forest, obviously in some shack. And the queen's son is hunting and was running around all day and was very tired. And suddenly sees this shack. And he's hungry. Hasn't eaten in a while. He's been hunting. He's been out in the sun. And he knocks on the door. And this woman, this poor woman, comes to the door. And sees the prince. In all his, you know, his royal garments and his servants. And the prince says, you know, I'm the prince and I've been hunting here. I'm very hungry. Do you have something to feed me? And she says, of course, I'm honored to. Please come in, sit down, rest. Says, actually, I have food that's fit for royalty. She had a cake that was baked by the royal baker, by the baker of the queen, which she was so excited to eat, but instead she's going to serve now to the prince, to honor the prince. And the prince eats that cake, and as you all understand, the prince collapses and dies on the spot. And all the servants are so scared and don't know what to do. What are they going to tell the queen? And they run back. And they tell the queen, and the queen obviously is very taken aback and crying and destroyed, but she got the message. Kol Masha Adam Poel. Everything a person does, only they're doing for themselves. Meaning everything in this world is Mida Keneged Mida. And she finally heard that idea of this woman in the worst of ways. And each and every one of us as well, lo aleinu, God forbid, not that we should ever be involved in such a serious, extreme fashion as this mashal, but of the Baal Shem Tov, but the nimshal is so strong for each and every one of us to recognize, to remember in our lives that everything is Mida Keneged Mida. And ultimately, again, that's not our purpose. We don't, lo aleinu, God forbid, we're not helping others because we want them to help us, and we're not doing for Hashem because we want Him to do for us. We're supposed to do because it's emes, because we're good people, and because we understand that we owe the Ribbono Shel Olam the world, and we all understand. But don't ever forget, everything's Mida Keneged Mida. And the way we act and the way we live, that's how the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to take care of us. And that's something very, very real. All right, let's learn one more Mishnah together. The final Mishnah of Hillel and these Mishnayos. So Hillel continues. Next Mishnah in Perek Beis, Mishnah Zayin. This Mishnah has a lot of deep ideas to it. Hu Haya Omer. He also said the following. Marbe Basar, Marbe Rima. Marbe Basar, Marbe Rima. What does that mean? Marbe Basar, Basar Rima. If you have a lot of meat, if you eat a lot, what's going to happen? If you eat a lot, you're going to become very, very big. And if you become very big, when you go into the grave, there are going to be a lot of worms and maggots. What does that mean? What does that mean, ultimately? Because we're going to have a lot of flesh, and a lot of flesh to eat up in the grave when we're 6 feet under, lo aleinu. And the idea is, our focus can't be on our physical life and our materialistic life. And if we're only concerned that I have to eat a lot, and eating a lot is just one example of materialism and luxuries, this life is very short. And in the end, Mar Berima, after 120, all the luxuries and all the materialism of life is going to do nothing for any of us. Those are momentary pleasures. And he continues on, in this world also, Marbe Nechasim, if you're going to have a lot of Nechasim, you're going to have a lot of property, you're going to have a lot of things, you're going to have a lot of cars, a lot of jewelry, a lot of whatever you want, whatever does it for you, a lot of houses, Marbe Daiga, what does that cause in the end? A lot of worries, you have a lot of more things you have to take care of. A lot more in this world that you have to take care of now. He continues on, and again, we have to understand, you know, the next few lines, I'm going to explain them. Marbe Noshim. If a man has many wives, again, in our day and age, that would be not halachically appropriate, but we know Midaraisa is such a concept. Marbe Noshim, if a person has many wives. Marbe Kshofim. You're going to have a lot of witchcraft. Again, that's not something we connect to so much, but there was a time when there was such a concept that was very, very real. What he means by that is because the wives are going to be fighting over each other, and they're going to do witchcraft on each other in order to gain the love of the Baal. Okay, that's not so much for our everyday lives. But we see each one is saying, basically, but the idea is one and the same. To excessive desires of anything physical is going to end in a bad place. Excessive desires of anything physical, materialistic, is going to end in a bad place. Meaning, by the way, listen to his lashon in every one of these examples, and we'll continue. There's a few more. It's not that there's anything wrong with eating delicious food, and not that there's anything wrong with having property, and having nice clothing, and having a nice car. The problem is with marbe, when you have too much of it, and that's too much of your focus, then you're going to always end in a bad place. He continues, marbe shvachos, if you have too many maidservants, marbe zima, you're going to have lewdness, they're going to be inappropriate, immoral. And not necessarily they're going to do anything with you, but that's going to be in your home. And I'll share with you what I believe the lesson for each and every one of us is in that. Meaning, you bring people into your home and you have housekeepers, you have whatever it might be, if you have many of them, they're going to bring certain ways of life and immorality of the outside world into one's home. And you'll think, okay, what does that have to do with me? But it affects us. Let's be real. A home where you have chvestisht, many TVs, and you have unfiltered internet, and you have a home with all the, you know, I don't even know these days what it is, but growing up, all the magazines, I don't know if they exist anymore, People and Us and Ichvesnish, you know what I'm talking about, right? I don't know, maybe not, maybe they don't exist anymore. They have different ones these days. But you have a home where you bring the whole outside world of immorality into our homes. That has an effect on us. Mar Bezima is going to affect on who we are. Our bias, our house has to be pure. You know, the world we live in has so much immorality in it. I'm not going to get into how much sheker is in the world, especially what we've seen over the last few months. But the immorality of the world, what's acceptable in the world today. You know, you as Nashim Tzikanias, as Benos Torah, obviously one of your priorities of life is snias, is modesty. You look in the world, is there any level of the modesty in the world that we live in is on the lowest of low. What's acceptable, what's believed to be okay between men and women in such a, you know, exhibitionist type of a way is it's just positive, disgusting. But it's accepted and it's normal society in normal ways. And we might understand that and not have that in our life, but if we even bring that in some level in the world of entertainment, and we bring that into our homes, it's going to desensitize us and have an effect on us. That's what marba shvachos, marba zima means for us, I believe. It's something very, very real. And we have to think about that, how it affects us. We say, okay, I don't do that. I just look at it and I just see, it's enjoyable, but ultimately it affects me and desensitizes me. And finally, one last one till we get to what we should be enhancing, and that's marbe avadim, marbe gazel. And that's if you have many servants in your home. Again, that's not so shaykh to us either, so much on a practical level. So you're going to have a lot of robbery, a lot of thieves, because again, people that are immoral in your home. But ultimately, again, the idea of all those, and that's the first half of the Mishnah, is just that anything excessive in the world of materialism and physicality is going to have a negative effect on us. In the proper amount, something very special, very good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to practice abstinence. You know, in other religions, the hierarchy is abstinence, right? In other religions, the hierarchy is to completely stay away and abstain from the physical world. We believe, as B'nai's Torah, we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to enjoy this world, but learn how to elevate everything in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to enjoy all the delicious food in this world, but eat the proper amount and make a bracha beforehand. And there's certain gedarim, certain fences of we only eat kosher to elevate that and make it something very holy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to dress in a beautiful way. He wants you to look beautiful in the way that you, but ultimately, how many different coats does one need, right? How many different coats does one need? Just because there's every type of coat with every type of patch, you can. Do we need every single one? So I need a Montclair and I need a Canada Goose and I need a Chvestnisht, you know, whatever you need. You know, how many coats do you need in the winter, really? So to have one good coat and that you think looks nice, beautiful, wonderful. But how many do I need? And really, when it's marbe, I'm putting my priority is there. That's important to me. It's important to look nice. Of course it's important to look nice. We know it's a famous chazal, very beautiful, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava, she had braids in her hair. He made her with braids. It's not insignificant. You know that's telling each and every one of you, as women, as Nashim Tzikonios, that it's okay to want to look beautiful and to want to dress in a way that's it's not, no one's supposed to walk around looking like a schlump or feeling like a schlump. But marbe already is, if that's my biggest priority in the world, that I have to, marbe, I'm sure I've shared this story before here, I just think about that when I think about, like, materialism, luxuries, especially in the world that a lot of us live in. You know, my wife told me a story, mamish, it still shocks me, I think about it all the time. She went in once to, we live in Cedars in the Five Towns, for those who don't know. And she went in once to one of the shoemakers to have a pair of shoes fixed. I don't know what she was getting done, whatever it was, with her shoes. Shouldn't make up like I know. maybe just polished. I don't know, whatever it was. And a woman walked in, and this woman was picking up a pair of black heels that she had the shoemaker red the bottoms. You all get it, right?
Yeah.
You all get it. You know what Louboutins are, okay, right? So she had the shoemaker red the bottoms. Hashem Yirachem, where my priority is so strong, I can't even afford such a shoe. Which I don't know why anyone thinks it's a, you know, to spend. Okay, whatever, that's for another time. I'm not going to go there. But and you're going to have that. You have to have the. But I have to fit in with everybody else, and I have to feel that I special. So I read the bottoms of the shoe. That's obviously a world of marbe. I'm excessively obsessed with physicality and materialism. What should be excessive in our life? What should we be obsessed with? What should be our priority? So let's continue. Marbe Torah, marbe chayim. The more Torah we learn, we get together like this, and Beretz Hashem throughout the summer, every Wednesday night, late at night, even after a long day in the summer, you know, it's going to get more and more draining. More and more draining, trust me. But you come, marbe Torah, marbe chayim. This will give you life. This will give us all life. You think, what do you mean gives life? It gives us meaning. It gives us purpose. It gives us simcha, joy, because I feel good about myself when I'm living up to who I'm supposed to be and I'm living a purposeful, meaningful life. Bring me simcha. What do you mean give me chayim? Gives me life. Food gives me life. Certain medications might give me life. What do you mean? Like, Torah gives me life. So, you know, I remember years and years ago, my brother Moshe, I have a brother who's 6 years younger than me. And Moshe had his bris milah. So there was a big tzaddik there. I grew up davening the Young Israel Aron Siderst. And the first Rav of the Young Israel Aron Siderst was the Gadol Hador, Rav Nachum Tzvi Kornmel Zatzal. It was one of the Gedolim. Like, you've heard of Rav Moshe Feinstein or Yaakov Kamenetsky. When they had Shilas in Kashrus, they used to call him. He was the expert in Kashrus in the entire America. He wrote Svarim. How he ended up Young Israel on Cedars, that's for another time. But Lemaisa, not I mean, that wasn't a knock on Young Israel. Chas v'sholom. Listen, I love Rabbi Trump. I love it. That's not, you know, we're close. That's not what I meant. But it's still, to, you know, it's a Shilas, just to understand. But I had the schus to be close with him. He was a very special person. And at my brother's bris, my brother Moshe's bris, I remember seeing this on video. I don't remember like watching when it happened. I was 6 years old at the time. And he gets up, my uncle was taking video, you know, and back in those days, like with a video camera, like that you had to hold on your shoulder, you know. It was like, literally, you don't know from these things. Like there was no video with my phone, you know. It was like, you guys don't know what a VHS is even, do you? Like VHS? So like the whole big VHS went into the machine. You had to take, like it was from a different world. And he's taking a video, and Rav Kornmel gives my brother a bracha. You should be zocha to live a life of chayim. And I remember my whole life thinking, what does that mean? Live a life of chayim? Like I already knew chayim means life, right? Live a life of life. So he's basically saying you should be zocha to live. You can live a life of happiness. Live a life of bracha. What do you mean live a life of chayim? That's like, that's just repetitive, right? I'm not going to find inside for the sake of time where it's late. But if you look inside, you know, when Paro meets Yaakov Avinu for the first time, when Paro meets Yaakov Avinu for the first time, they have a conversation. And if you look in the Chumash, it's a very petty conversation, very seemingly insignificant conversation. Like these are these two great world leaders. Yaakov, the leader of the monotheistic Jews, and Paro, the greatest kingdom in the world, the Egyptians at the time, the powerhouse. And it basically sounds like two old men sitting on a park bench and asking how the weather is, you know? No, really, like, they meet, they say Shalom Aleichem. How old are you? Paro says, how old are you? And Yaakov answers, Yimei Shnei Chayai, he was 130 at the time, if I'm not mistaken. But then he says, Yimei Migurai were Ma'at V'ram, he had a very difficult life. Listen, Yaakov had a difficult life, right? Think about Esav wanting to kill him and running after him, and then everything happening with his wives and being switched at his wife, and then Yosef HaTzadik, he thinks he's dead for all these years. He had a difficult life. If you look closely there, Samson Raphael Hirsch points this out, Paro talks about Chayecha, life. Yaakov Avinu splits it up. He calls days of life and days of Chayim and days of Migurai. He says, my Migurai, the Lashon there, the Migurai was 130. His Chayim was Ma'at V'ram. That's how it's split up there. You know what he was saying? Migurai is to physically sojourn, to just physically be here, to be physically alive. That's Migurai, that's Gar, right? Ger, to live. Chayim means something else. Chayim means to live a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life of simcha. Chayim is not just physically be alive, to be able to be breathing. There are a lot of people in this world who breathe. But how many are living meaningful, purposeful, joyous lives? How many are depressed? How many are living meaningless lives? How many are doing nothing with their time that Hashem blessed them with? Am I Migurai or am I Chayai? That's a question we all have to ask ourselves. Am I just physically here, going through the motions, or am I Chai? Am I alive? Am I living, meaning, purpose? Living up to why I'm here. So Marbe Torah, Marbe Chayim. The more Torah you learn, the more Chaim you have. Not Migurai, not physical life, but meaningful, purposeful, spiritual life. Let's just finish up. Marbe Yeshiva, if you spend time sitting, and what that means sitting, it doesn't mean sitting like we are now on some level, but it means everyone needs some time for introspection, some time to yourself. In the world of Breslov, it's called Hisbodas. Hisbodas is some solitude, some time to think. We live in such a crazy world and life is so fast-paced and we're moving so quickly and there's so many responsibilities. Mar be yeshiva, mar be chachma. You'll be a much wiser person because you'll understand your life and be thought out in life. Mar be etza, someone who goes for a lot of advice, someone who's not afraid to go to somebody else for advice, somebody who's not afraid to ask, to go to a Rebbe, to go to a mentor, to go to a teacher, to go to whoever it might be. You know what you'll end up with? Marba Tvuna, with much greater understanding of this world, much more Bina, much more depth in your understanding, which will add to your meaning and purpose in this world. Don't be afraid. Ezu Chacham Halo made me call Adam. Don't be afraid to go ask and to learn from others. Marbe tzedakah, if you give a lot of tzedakah, instead just the opposite, not you're worried about your own nechazma, giving tzedakah to other, marbe shalom, you'll bring tremendous peace to the world. You'll bring, because peace has to be, when can you have peace? You can only have peace when we're all besimcha. Because we could all in this room be very besimcha with our lives, but there are other people in this world that feel threatened and are not happy with their lives, and they're destroying the peace in the world, as we see. Look at the last few months in the world that we live in. Look at the last few months in places where we live and what's been going on, and people that are not besimcha uprooting and destroying the peace of the world. So, marbe tzedakah, if we give to others and make sure other people are also happy, what we're going to bring about is shalom in the world, peace in the world, and we have to worry about that. Kana shem tov, if you want to get something, acquire a good name. Think about our name. How do people think of me? When they think of me, how would they summarize me? How would they talk about me? Some of you are already dating. Some of you will be dating soon. I don't know where we're holding everybody here. But you know, someone gets your name, a shidduch, and they're looking into you, and they call your friend. They call somebody who knows you. What are they going to say about you? That's your shame. That's your name. Kana shem tov, kana latzmo. That's for yourself. That's going to help you in an incredible way. Make sure we have a good name. And a good name is how we live our lives ultimately, in that proper way we're talking about. And finally, kana lo divrei Torah. If one acquires divrei Torah, words of Torah, and Torah is a part of our life, not just I do it, but I'm koine, I acquire it. I mean, and that the way I understand being koine Torah is I allow the Torah to transform me. Not just, you know, we get together here, we're learning Torah, which is itself tremendous and awesome, and each and every one of you will be blessed and gain tremendous chayar for just this. But then how many of us will walk out of here and be a different person because of it? How many of us will this Torah transform me, and at least some of what we learned tonight, think about and contemplate and allow it to be have an effect on who I am? That I'm coined, I've acquired it, I live by it, I'm telling it over to others. Through that you'll acquire a life of Olam Haba, and I just want to make one comment on this before we end. What does it mean, Chaye Olam Haba? Why not Kana Olam Haba? What do you mean, Chaye Olam Haba? Of course you'll be Kana Olam Haba. That's the schar, that's a reward. But you'll be much greater than that. That's in the next world. That will be after 120. But when you live a life of Torah, and you encompass Torah, and you emulate Torah, and you live that life that Hashem wants us to live, which ultimately is not just for him, but to Atzmo, as we started with that story of Hashem. Because what? You'll live Chaye Olam Haba. You'll start feel like you're in Olam Haba already. Because you'll be so besimcha with yourself and with your relationship with Hashem, with all that we are, that you don't even have to wait till then to feel that pleasure of Olam Haba. You'll start to feel it now. And each and every one of us, each and every one of you, should be Zoicha to live a Chaye Olam Haba. To feel that close to Hashem here and now. It's been a schus to start learning together. Looking forward, this should only be the beginning of a lot of growth over this summer. And we should have a wonderful night. We'll continue next week. Mirza Hashem.